For 2,000 years, Catholics have been at the heart of the culinary arts, and maybe this shouldn't come as a surprise considering the sacred feast of the Eucharist and how it gives life to our faith. But like so many aspects of our lives today, our relationship with food has become compromised and cheapened and robbed of its wholesomeness and its purpose. And it's so easy to lose the sacramental nature of eating and the sense of community that comes with a good meal. Welcome to Letters to Women. It's a podcast where we explore and embrace what St. Pope John Paul II called the feminine genius, this unique strength and dignity that we have as women, and what growing in that looks like in our daily lives. This is not a podcast where we talk about the one way to be a Catholic woman, and it's not a show where I sit down with other women and we share a set of expectations for Catholic women today that might leave you feeling out of place. Instead, you'll find conversations with women in a variety of seasons of life, and you'll hear about how they're living out their own feminine genius. And this is all offered as encouragement for you to discover more about who you are and how you're called to live out the feminine genius too. My name's Chloe Langer, and I'm a Catholic wife and mom living in Kansas City. And I'm recording an episode after tucking toddlers into their new shared room, and even though it's so fun to have every night be a sister sleepover, it's also kind of loud as they chatter away for a while before finally calling it a night. And if you tuned in the last episode, you're aware that Bishop is not a quiet podcasting dog, and that trend continues. It's really easy for me when recording these episodes and hearing those very, very loud dog barks to get discouraged and to be ready to give anything for just a few minutes of quiet to record a conversation. But you know what? If you walked in the front door of our house and sat down on the couch for a cup of coffee with me, this is what you'd hear. Bishop barking and toddlers chatting and toddlers fighting and toddlers singing Frozen at the top of their lungs. And this is the season that I'm finding myself in, and it's the home that I invite guests and you into as a listener. So welcome. It's loud, but it's also real and authentic, and I love ending the night with a good conversation about one of my favorite topics, the feminine genius, and then being able to share those conversations with you. In this episode, I'm sitting down with Alexandra Greeley. She's a convert to Catholicism, a trained chef, and the author of a brand new book called Catholics in the Kitchen. Alexandra and I are talking about sacramental eating, the beauty and diversity of the Catholic Church, and how much we're looking forward to the farmers market starting up this spring. So whether you're looking for new recipes to add to your meal rotation, or you just want to discover more about the connection between faith and food, sister, this letter is for you. Today's episode of the Letters to Women podcast is sponsored by Sacred Heart Tea Company. Let's talk about food and drink as a connection point with those that we love. One of my favorite parts of Joseph and I's evening routine after we get the girls into bed is brewing a cup of tea and just sitting down together and talking about our day. Sacred Heart Tea Company creates loose leaf teas based on the lives of the saints, and their tea shop features greens and blacks and herbal teas, as well as caffeine-free teas for those evening cups. And if you don't know where to start, you can check out their Communion of Saints sampler, and that features sample sizes of all of their teas. Find out more at sacredhearttea.com and use the code LETTERS to get 10% off your purchase at checkout. That's sacredhearttea.com, the code LETTERS for 10% off. Happy sipping! Today, I'm welcoming Alexandra Greeley to the podcast. A convert to Catholicism, Alexandra is the author of Cooking with the Saints, and she's spent her life working in the food world as a cookbook author, a restaurant reviewer, and a trained chef. Becoming Catholic shaped her food passion, forging a pathway to God through her food faith volunteer work in her parish, where she's offered cooking classes featuring the saints, and she's started an organic garden to help feed the poor. Alexandra, welcome to Letters to Women. It's so good to sit down with you this evening.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Before we jump into a conversation about this brand new book that you've written, I would love to hear more about your story as a Catholic woman.
Well, I had absolutely no interest or no knowledge of the Catholic faith until I went to have a physical therapy with a woman who said, "Oh, gee, I'm going to go to the Holy Land on a Catholic pilgrimage." And I said, "Oh, tell me about Catholicism." And the word she said to me is, "The one true faith God gave mankind." It was like thunder and lightning struck in me. And I went home, and the next day I signed up for two different RCIA classes in my one parish and another parish nearby. And that's what happened. And then I ran into after an RCIA class, I ran into Father Edward Hathaway, to whom hopefully the next book will be dedicated. And he said, "What is a Baha'i?" Because I was a Baha'i. And I said, "Well," he said, "I'm so glad you're Catholic. Welcome to the church." Of course, he knew what a Baha'i was, but he was being funny.
That lightning moment where it's like, this is...
It was lightning. Shoot. Really, literally.
That's incredible.
I don't think anyone else sensed it that afternoon, but it was a late October afternoon. I will never forget that 5 o'clock image of lightning. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Well, it's how God brought me to the church, God and Father Hathaway.
Yes, it's a tag team. How long ago was that? How long has it been since you converted?
14 years ago. It really was amazing, amazing. It's really changed my life, changed my whole focus on what I do, which is, I mean, I've always been involved with the food world, but now I use food to help other people, cooking for other people. It's been a godsend. It really has.
I've loved getting to know your story, getting to know your writing through a new book that you recently wrote called Catholics in the Kitchen, Nurturing the Bond Between Faith and Food. And it's published by Tan Books. And I would love to hear the inspiration behind the book and what readers will find when they open up the cover of it.
I interviewed people for a National Catholic Register, people who cook and who are obviously Catholic. And it's been a whole range of, they're either farmers or chefs or cookbook authors. So my editor there gave me permission to select several to profile in the cookbook. And that's what I did. And these people were very willing to be profiled. And they shared recipes, which of course were tested. Their stories are really magnificent. Catholicism has changed their life too and brought them onto a whole different pathway of living, being involved with God and food, because without food, we wouldn't be alive, and God gave us the food. I hope people make that connection because that is the real connection, food and faith.
Did you enjoy getting to go deeper in conversation with these people that you had profiled?
Oh, yes. And of course, I had to, when I spent, hours writing their profiles, they're quite long, like 2,000 words or so. And I sent it back to them for proofreading because they had to be actually very correct. And so there was a lot of back and forth. And then the editor wanted to have the recipes also looked at. So we went back and forth with that too. There was always a lot of changes, but it was very productive, very helpful, and very informational. It's inspiring to meet people like that whose lives have really changed. And although I said I interviewed them for the National Catholic Register, those profiles are very short. These were very long. And so it was very digging deep into their life and their Catholicism. It was really quite wonderful. I think back to them, I think they were all very inspirational in each of their own way. They were very inspirational. So.
I loved seeing a wide variety of recipes featured in this cookbook. A squash braised in coconut milk with jumbo shrimp, wild duck gumbo. And is it bigos, a Polish staple? Just to name a few. What did you learn while curating these interviews and diving deep into these people's lives and profiling them and their stories? What did you learn about universality of Catholicism?
Well, that's what I really learned because I, before I became Catholic, I thought it was just sort of, a very sequestered religion. I didn't realize it was so many people in so many countries around the world are Catholic, and it really is how they live their life. And it really is amazing, very impressive to see how people live as Catholics. And these were Americans in this book, but the other book I wrote, Cooking with the Saints, there were Catholics from all over the world. Book was based on my cooking classes at St. Veronica, which I did for 7 years, and it was amazing to find out how people are Catholic everywhere and how it shapes their lives. And here in the United States, when they're all Americans, but they were from all around the country, farmers and cowboys. There's a cowboy priest who rides his horse 200 miles every Sunday to give mass. Okay, that's the guy in Wyoming. It's really amazing. These people are extraordinary how they live their faith and bring it to other people. It's very impressive. Really is.
I loved the story about him riding through over miles and miles and miles to reach his parish. It's like, oh, this reminds me of something that I would have read in a history book. And it's so incredible to see, oh, this is how people are living today, that this is Catholicism alive and it has different flavors and it looks differently. And it's just so beautiful to see that there's this united aspect of it. Their life looks very different from mine, but we're both Catholic. And so there's this automatic connection, which is really lovely.
And there, so many of the people were so inspiring. I mean, I'm sure you'll be inspired after you read their profiles in the cookbook. They're all from different walks of life and all who have lived their lives in a different way, but who are very possessed with Catholicism, and it's really shaped how they live their life and how they help others. Really amazing.
The book features interviews with 19 different Catholics, and you mentioned this farmers and priests and chefs and cooks and other cookbook authors. I especially loved your interview with Ever Johnson, who opened the nonprofit Trinity House Cafe and Market in Virginia 10 years ago. And this cafe is this place where anyone can walk in into ongoing Christian community and culture. It's incredible.
She and her husband are a very devout Catholic, but their restaurant, although it's open to everybody, obviously there's a sense of Catholicism all around on the walls. I mean, there's, paintings and scripture writings and everything, but anyone can go in there and sit down and have a cup of tea or a sandwich. And how they've welcomed everybody, I think, has really shaped a lot of other people's lives. People love the place because it's very friendly and very informal, but very Catholic in a very. And they used to, I don't know if they still do, they used to have weeknight talks by Catholics who come in and, give lectures and talks and seminars. It was really, really interesting.
you write about this throughout the book, but I'd love to hear how food can be a way that we evangelize to those around us and how we share the good news of the gospel through something that is so much part of our everyday experience with food and around our tables.
Well, I think that a very good way to think about that is when you have dinner with other people or meals for other people, or you take food to people who are in need, then you show you're sharing the food, which is God's way of feeding us, with other people, you know, either at a happy family table, or I used to take food to people who are, you know, in not nursing homes, but, you know, or not able to get out. And that's just one way of bringing people together, you know, sharing the love for God with the love of food. And of course, being a good cook is helpful too.
And that's why there are recipes in this book, right? To dive in and to dive into different recipes and invite people into that experience and share a meal, but also share the Lord. Because I think there's so many good conversations that can happen around a dinner table with friends or neighbors or people you're just meeting.
Absolutely. It can be life-changing things. I hope people find that when they read the book, and it will inspire them to cook for others and feed others. And even if it's, you know, taking food to the needy, that's very important to do. It really is. For me, food, I had started a organic garden at my church. I started a farmer's market at the church on every Thursday afternoon. So people was in front of the church. They could shop for food, but then go in and take a tour of the church. Food and faith right there. I had farm dinners. You know, it was just, I just wanted people to see that connection. It was very important that they understand that without food, we wouldn't be alive. And God gave us the food. People have to understand that.
Yeah, I think that's so key, because I think for many of us, our relationship with food is something that we may not automatically think of as something connected with the Lord or think of it in a sacramental worldview. Because for so many of us, food is something that has been compromised. Like we don't eat well. Our food is unhealthy.
Don't go down that line. You get me hysterical.
How do we recover practically? And you've offered so many practical, I love how this has looked in your life with farmers markets and farm meals and having this be so connected to the Lord and to our relationship with the church. But how do listeners recover the sacramental nature of eating and this sense of community that comes with a good meal?
Well, they need to not go to, you know, get fast food. They need to sit down and, you know, go to market, buy good food, you know, prepare it for others. Prepare it for themselves, prepare it for their family. They have to understand that this is not something you can go and buy, you know, a candy bar, and this is that's not real food. Real food comes from what God has given us, which is what, you know, a farmer's market has, what good farm food is. It's just, you just can't buy processed food and think it's what God gave us, because it isn't. It really isn't. You have to do the creative cooking yourself, or have, you know, and involve somebody else in doing, preparing interesting food that's based on real food, not just processed food. Oh, don't get me started on that either.
Our farmers market starts up in April, and it's been something that I've been so looking forward to, because it's such a different experience and a different connection with food and people versus even just going to the grocery store and buying vegetables and produce and something to create a meal.
I know, it's wonderful. Everyone should support farmers market. And I think, you know, there seem to be some of them growing around, at least in where I live in Virginia, which is very helpful. I mean, it's very inspiring that farmers are taking that message, whether they're Catholic or Christian, I don't know, but at least they're giving fresh food to people, selling fresh food to people, which is very helpful.
Do you have any advice for listeners who have a desire to support farmers and the work that they do and the important work that they do?
Well, I think that there are certainly institutions or that are, you know, farm related. I think they could look up and make donations to them. That would be very helpful. I mean, I only know about in Virginia, because we have so many farmers markets here and so many farms around here. So they're just very, very prevalent. Even in DC, there are farmers markets. Every, you know, DC being that big city, but there are several farmers market there all the time, every in the farming growing season, of course. But it's very important to support farmers, because they feed us. Without them, we wouldn't be eating. We wouldn't have, you know, the food, the plants or the animals that we need to sustain ourselves. So we have to thank farmers for what they do for us.
I love when we go to our farmers market in the spring when it starts up. There is a community of refugees who've been rehomed through our community. And one thing that they do is there's farmers who will come alongside them and teach them about agriculture and growing things. And then they'll come to farmers market. And it's just lovely to meet new people in the community who've just moved in. And then to hear about all the things that they have learned and all the things that they're teaching us about how to grow in our garden. And it's such a lovely community building. Like we go in there like, oh, we just need some broccoli. And it's like, oh, we've met so many good people throughout the process.
Isn't that wonderful? That's very inspiring. But you know, James Ennis, Catholic Rural Farmers, and he has this a national organization that supports rural farming around the country. And the book was dedicated to him, actually. And I think what he does is extraordinary. You should be interviewing him, for heaven's sake.
I'm enjoying my conversation with you. Yeah, I think, but I do think there is that. Let's just go back to that, like that disconnect from where food comes from and what it looks like to grow food and how this is people's livelihood and that matters and that there's such a dignity in this work that they do. And it's just, we just get so disconnected from it when we go to the freezer and pick up a thing of frozen corn.
Right. You have to really understand that connection between farm and food and faith. It is so vital to understand that and to support farmers, because without them, heaven only knows what we'd be eating.
This interview is just kind of a taste of the people that you have written about and interviewed. And it's not even touching the incredible recipes that are throughout your latest book, which is called Catholics in the Kitchen, Nurturing the Bond Between Faith and Food. How can listeners pick up a copy of that latest book? And how can they connect with you about the other cookbooks that you've written to keep the conversation going?
Well, I think TAM Books is also available from TAM Books, but it's also available on Amazon. And I think if people, you know, they can look for Catholics in the Kitchen, they can look for Cooking with the Saints. Amazon sells both of them. And it's a way for people of any faith to understand how God has given us the food to sustain ourselves. I think TAM Books did a wonderful job of putting it out there. It was really very well laid out, very well designed, very well thoughtfully, a really good product. So I hope it's doing well, because I want people to understand food and faith are connected. They really are. Farm, food, and faith. That's another mantra.
There's one last question that I have for you. And it's the question that I ask every woman who comes on the podcast as we explore this concept of the feminine genius that St. John Paul II talks about. He talks about how women have this special way of living and moving and loving in the world. And I would love to know about how you live out this feminine genius in your daily life, especially as a woman sharing your passion for faith and food and farms.
Well, I'm very involved with reading liturgy every day, with going to Mass regularly, with talking to people about having good meals, offering to cook for other people. I would just love to be able to. I've often, where I'm living now, it's a residence. I often ask a local chef if I could come and cook with them, which of course he's going to. I'm not registered to do that, but I love to, you know, bring food to people and have people understand the connection. And I wish that I, you know, could go back and have the farmers market again. There's going to be one here where I'm living now this summer, which is going to be wonderful. He's just a wonderful person. He had wonderful food. It was very well laid out last year. So, you know, people have got to understand that. And I hope that this recording will have people think about farming and food. And, you know, that's where good food comes from, is from the farm.
Oh, yeah. It's just, and just even hearing you talk about things that you've done as you, throughout your journey with Catholicism, like bringing meals to the needy and cooking at your parish and teaching others how to cook. It's just lovely to see how intertwined all of those things are in your life.
Well, my former pastor let me cook for him at the rectory. I cooked for him 80 times. I would always have to have a list of dishes that I might serve, and he'd go through and say, I want this one, this one, this one. But it was he'd have guests there. Father Jacques Philippe was one of his guests. I cooked for him. We also had Father Leo cooking at the church, and I got to help him in the kitchen. So, you know, I've been very blessed to meet all these amazing people in this my cooking journey. It's really been astonishing.
Thank you for coming on the show, for sharing your story, and it's just been a lovely chat. It's got me
it's
excited.
Been delightful
for
too, and I love your dog. Dogs are wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Letters to Women. Check out the show notes for my conversation with Alexandra on my website, letterstowomenpodcast.com, or just scroll down in your podcast player for links to get your own copy of Catholics in the Kitchen at TAN Books. Use the code LETTERS at checkout at tanbooks.com and you'll get 15% off your order. In the show notes, you'll also find a link to Sacred Heart Tea Company. They're the sponsor for today's episode. And finally, you'll find a link to sign up for my newsletter, Naptime Notes. Every month, I share my favorite reads, what books the girls checked out from the library, the podcast that I'm listening into, and some braggable thrift store finds. Naptime Notes is always going to be free. But if you subscribe at $5 a month, you get early and ad-free access to all the Letters to Women podcast episodes before they go live. If you listen to the podcast and you love the conversations and the guests of the show, please leave a rating and review, especially if you tune in via iTunes. And if you know a woman who would love this conversation with Alexandra, please send this episode her way. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any future episodes. If you ever want to share about a guest that you'd love to see on the show or share about your experience as a listener, you can send me an email at letterstowomen@gmail.com and I'd love to connect with you. That's all I have for today's episode. So until next time, be not afraid.